thing that we read from the big book before every meeting, and we definitely encourage you guys to keep this in mind. If you've never been to this meeting, I definitely encourage you to listen up, and if you've never gotten anything out of a speaker meeting before, I definitely encourage you to listen up. If you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause in hearing this story tonight and think one of three things. This is where you want to listen. Yes, that happened to me. Or, more important, yes, I felt like that. Or, most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. And with that, I'm going to have Lucian come up and introduce our speaker.
Hey everybody, I'm Lucian, I'm an addict. Tonight's speaker is probably one of the most quotable people. He has like Bruce-isms. Like amongst my friend. There's one of them right there. We have like, and he doesn't know this, but we quote you all the time when you're not around. But some of them I actually have used, and I use them not only because of what I've learned from you, it's what I've seen from you, and you help me. Bruce is someone who I found when I was kind of in kind of a rut. I was at a spot in sobriety where I was just kind of stuck, and he keeps it real simple and got me back to basics, and I need that, and he doesn't let me get away with anything, and he's got a good story, and he's one of the best people that I know. So with that, I give you Bruce.
I'm Bruce, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bruce.
Well, Lucian's a pistol, isn't he? Keep him on a short choker chain. He needs it. No, he's a good guy. He has a great passion for this program. I'm intimidated tonight, not by the numbers of the people in here, but certainly by the age. I'm a little older than you, most of you. I have a 23-year-old daughter, though, and that's what I'm really seeing and hearing. It tugs at me. She should be here. You know, my father said a long time ago, never get up in front of people and talk unless you have something to talk about and you're prepared. And I can truthfully say that, both of those tonight. I challenge this group tonight. I'm very impressed. I got an email from Theron today saying how the group is focused and about the solution. And it's very impressive to see this in here. I'm in the recovery resident business, and I see a lot of young people coming in and out that aren't paying attention. And I challenge you tonight to... And anytime I like the intro, Bob, you gave. It's very accurate. It's I may say something that I'll try not to say anything to offend you. It may happen. Don't get hooked up on that. Don't get hooked up on my personality. Don't get hooked up on something like that. We tend to hear something and we check out. It's not about me. It's not about my personality. It's not about my comments. It's about the message. It's about the message, and hopefully you'll hear something tonight that can help you. So real quick, I'm 51 years old. My home group is Dunwoody Solutions. We had an hour and a half group conscience tonight. I'd just rather take a whipping. God. Boom. So anyway, other than that, I'm in good shape. You know, I got my story starts way back. High school, I was, I got a lot of disco in my story, by the way. And, I was a casual drinker, party boy growing up in high school. You know, it was just like everybody else. And I had some, what I call social... I was a social drinker. I was a social cocaine user. Drop a little, can you say acid in here?
Sure.
Okay. And so I was doing a lot of that way back when. And it was all fun. slowly but surely, you know, a very middle class neighborhood, a lot of friends, very popular, a lot of sports, you know, no TV. I was outside all day just playing, very competitive. Slowly I saw the development as probably most of you have seen. My girlfriend has a 12-year-old son. She's Chinese. He's Chinese, of course. I try to tell him about the good boys. Go this way. And I can tell y'all in here, where are the bad boys? The bad boys go this way. It's about that simple, isn't it? So I try to get him over here as much as I can. Jeez. And, you know, I thought it was all hip, slip, and cool. What I was doing, who I was hanging around with. I didn't have a problem. I had a little cat burglar in me. I didn't mind breaking into your house, stealing something. But I'd walk right and see your parents, and they were all, you know, it was nice. I was very presentable. Very nice, presentable. So slowly the trend started to, you know, the good boys were going this way, and I was kind of stuck. They were getting married, and good things were happening to them. What geeks they were, you know, with these guys. And I was so, you know, and the joke was on me. The joke was on me. I finally went to college, went to the University of South Carolina, fall of 1979. And I scored an 860 on my SAT. So, Theron knows what I'm talking about. I was just getting in, just slipping in everything, just under the radar. So all the kids, I go to school loaded up with my pot, my Quaaludes, and my, you know, that's what I went to school. The kids were having their books and their banners, going to school, and so I spent 2.5 years there just having a good time, or what I thought was a good time. It is, at 51 years old today, it's one of the biggest regrets I have, is not taking advantage of that opportunity, college. It's just another failure. I seem to think I was doing okay, but as I take a legal pad out and write it down, it was one failure after another, and I didn't see it. I had no idea at your age what was going on. This is why it's so impressive to see you in here. You're not in here. You're in here for a reason. I don't have to know that reason. I know. And it is very impressive. Most people don't make it. Long-term sobriety. I don't know what that's about. I get out of school, drop out of school. I go to Texas. Pulled a sheet off the wall at Texas. Said, "Go west, young man. Go west, young man. Swear." That was several years ago. That's what I envisioned it said. And I got a job working offshore on an oil rig. Man, hard work, rough, tough, fighting, stealing, kicking, and it was just we would go out for 28 days. Never seen so many alcoholics and thugs go out for 28 days and behave themselves. Will you bring that group back in? And we raided the Texas coast. It was just barbaric almost. And, you know, then we'd go back out. I could quit drinking for 28 days and come back. So anyway, then I moved out to, made a lot of money. Huge amount of money at an early age. I was 20, 21 years old, making more money than God allowed. And a lot of times I'd go 4 weeks out, 2 weeks off. Sometimes after that 2 weeks, I would have to call them to send me some money. I would spend all my money in that 2 weeks, broke. So I finally got caught smoking dope on the back deck, and they fired me. So I moved to Dallas, Texas. I moved to Dallas, Texas. Did the same thing out there. Number one football team in the country, was Dallas Cowboys' number one show on TV. Was a show called Dallas. I was in Dallas. The girls were blonde and like 6'4". You know? That's what I remember. Fancy cars. Now I'm from Greenville. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. 1980. That was backwater. It's very metropolitan urban city now, but back then it was. So I was in the big city, and I was trying to run with the big boys. And one night I was at a keg party. They said, "Man, last time I saw you, you was having a good time over there." And that's the story of our lives. You know, last time we saw you, you was doing fine. You was right over there. You're right over there, weren't you? Where'd you go? Here again. So I went out and I'm popping door handles. A few door handle poppers in here, I'm sure. And booyah, when I'm opened, hot almighty, guess where the keys are? In the ignition. So it's a brand new Jaguar, happened to be. South Carolina boy never been in a Jaguar. I've never seen one. So I jump in that Jaguar, and of course I don't know how to operate it, but I turn the key, and I'm taking off, and I've got about a half a keg of beer in me, and I'm driving down the road, and the blue lights come on, you know, and I was there. You ever gotten arrested and you're that kind of drunk, kind of thuggish, kind of Al Capone kind of guy? You know, you're kind of taking on the cops, you know, they don't scare you, you know. And so they arrested me. I spent 3 days in jail in Dallas. I didn't know. I couldn't even tell the people where I didn't know where I was. Couldn't tell anybody to come pick me up. I didn't know where I was. I was so drunk. And so I think today they still call it the same thing. It's called Grand Theft Auto. And that's a class one felony. I was facing 2 to 10 in Huntsville State Prison, Huntsville, where they kill more people in Huntsville Prison, I think, than the rest of the country combined every year. They don't mess around out there. So, you know, things are just really, I'm thinking I'm having a good time. And I have no clue what this thing is doing to me. No clue what it's doing to me. Don't want to stop. I hadn't thought about stopping. Nobody's talked to me about stopping. Nobody can talk to me, period. Right? Nobody can tell me much of anything anyway. I will tune you out. The minute you start getting inside of that zone, because that's what I got to do to survive. I got to keep you out of there. My sponsor says the first thing I got to do before I relapse is get rid of you. It's the first thing I got to do. I got to start putting some distance between me and you. Start separating. Start isolating. So I come back to town, ended up getting off on 5 years probation. You know, and I'm wearing a white shirt and a tie. You know, I don't look like a guy that steals your car. You know, and it's my drinking progresses. My drug use progresses. We're at disco's fun, everybody's dancing, everybody's loud, everybody's having fun, and cocaine is just getting started. You have a little half gram in your pocket, last all night. You remember those days? That's a lot. No, it was way back. You know? Isn't that awful? That might cause somebody to go out. That's a trigger, isn't it? And so anyway, it's my use, it grew. I was able, I always used to brag about it. I used to fall. What is it? How do you fall? I would fall up. That's it. Fall up. You know, I'd get fired, get in a better job. Didn't need that anyway. You know, and that went on for years. Finally met a, I love to play with anything that was around me. And I used anything that was around me, preferably other people, preferably other people. God, just, I thought I was a woman's kind of guy, which was a joke, you know. I look back and I see how shallow that is. So I meet my wife. I'm starting to, the clock's ticking. I'm in my late 20s, and I meet a girl at Myrtle Beach. Used to hang out down there and just rip and roar. And so I meet a girl down there. Met her in May. She moves in with me that summer. She moved from Charleston to Greenville with me, and boom. I meet her in May, she moves in June, she's pregnant in August. It's love, it was freaking love. The serious side to that is, I'm 28. And this, I've got this woman pregnant. And I share this because it shows the depravity of who I am and how I don't care for anybody. At 28, I've gotten this woman pregnant, and I have gone through 8 abortions with 6 women to the time I'm 28. It's just, and I was sober before I remembered that, of how, and I go back to how I use people. And I know there's people in here that have experienced that. And it is an experience. Every time I went through that, things changed. The relationship changed. So I've got that little system down, of course. So one quiet night, I asked her, we're not married. And it's mid-90s. You know, we're going to do the mid-90s thing, maybe. Right? Whatever that is. We start. My clock's ticking. I'm 28, and things are, like, falling apart over here. Maybe this is it. Do you ask her to marry? Well, before I ask her to marry, I say, well, there's another thing we can do. Because that's what I do. So I offer that up. Right?
Right.
Offer that up. And she says, no, absolutely not. I said, whoa, it says that's cool. You know, I wasn't really thinking about that anyway. We move quick, man. We move quick. You can't catch us. We move quick. You know what I'm talking about. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And then I started thinking. I said, we'll live together. She says, no, I'll go back to Charleston, 200 miles away, and I'll raise the baby on my own. And that just, whoa. That was powerful. I'm a weakling. That was like powerful life stuff. That was like big responsibility. And it impressed me to the point to where about a few weeks later, I asked her to marry me. The girl I met in May. So I met her in May. She's pregnant in August. I take her down the aisle in January. Pulling that corset, just pulling that thing tight. She's pregnant in January. She's very pregnant in January. And it was like the next day after that, it just went boom, you know. Grandma's there, you know. Hey, Grandma, you know, she comes to the wedding down from North Carolina. When I call her with the news, she says, well, Bruce, I was just down there last week. We're going to have a... So I meet her in May, pregnant in August, married in January, baby in May. May to May, I got a kid, bam, and I'm married. Oh my God. Nobody, I never discussed it with anybody how to get married. That ain't what I do. I just jump in and I figure it out. I just jump in and I figure it out because I'm a horseshoe guy. I'm the horseshoe guy. I just kind of, I throw it and then I start working towards it. Kind of. You know? I don't worry about it. Because I've done that so many times, and I think I'm proficient at it. I think I'm proficient at that. And but I'm out here competing in life with this slick, organized, college graduate guy who's got responsibility and children and a wife at home he's taking care of. That's who I'm really competing with in life. That's who you're competing with in life. And I keep losing. Oh, duh. Duh. I'm competing for jobs. I'm competing for the right girl, the right relationship, or the right guy. It's out here. It's competition. And I keep losing. And when I lose, I settle for this. I keep settling for this. And I wonder why. I wonder why my girlfriend's doing more and more cocaine than I'm doing. That's who I gravitate to. And she gravitates to me. The marriage lasts. So the baby's born in May. She's back in Charleston in September. 4 months. She takes my four-month-old beautiful daughter. She's 23 years old. She's a med student at University of South Carolina. How that happened, I don't know. But before she leaves, and if you'll back into this, how many opportunities were given you? Many, many opportunities were given you to turn around, to change. And she says, if you will go to AA, I'll give it another shot. And I mean, this is how I remember it. I remember, you know how puppy dog goes like this? And doesn't do anything. That's just what I remember. I just kind of went, and I mouth hung, and I did what I normally do. Nothing. Nothing. Beautiful 4 month old baby. Healthy as it can be. This woman's concerned about one thing: that child. She sees the writing on the wall. And all I'm saying is, damn it, do you know you were partying with me all summer? Didn't you see it coming? Like that was an excuse. She goes, takes the child back, and she says, I'm leaving. And I said, you ain't going nowhere. I says, you're not going to leave me. And she says, yeah, I am. I says, look, you want me to come home from work? I'll help you pack, you know. I came home one day. I didn't think she'd leave me. And I came home and I opened the door. And it was like a vacuum came out. Just went whoo. She had, during the day while I was at work, she had four movers come in and took everything out of that house. Every picture, she took the toilet paper. She took everything. She took the bed. She took everything. There was absolutely nothing in that room, in that house. What do I do? You know, just wrestle through this awful divorce. I wrestle through that. It was ugly, slinging mud. Oh, geez. But I do nothing about my problem. Nothing. I keep rolling. So I do this for another 7 or 8 years. I'm up in Greenville by myself, just really laying it to it. Anyway, so then I get a nightclub. I had a chance to buy I bought a nightclub in Malden outside of Greenville.
There you go.
a high volume blue collar, 24/7 nightclub.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I had that for 7 years. And that was my last hurrah. I was in 2002, July of 2002, I finally went to rehab. It was a free Christian rehab in Greenwood, South Carolina, called Faith Home. And they had 14 mobile homes.
Nice.
12 guys to a mobile home. Can you fit? How do you fit 12 guys in a freaking? They had petitioned that thing, buddy, and they got you in there. It was free. It was free. And it was like, you know, and I was doing so good. It was an 8-week program. Whew, 8 weeks. How long did I last? Three and a half. The first time, it took me 3 weeks because when I'm fast out of the gate, I find out who the boss is, and I'm in his back pocket. I'm impressing him. And that worked for about 3 weeks. I told him, I said, your sign needs painting. And they said, really? I said, yeah, painting. I can take care of that for you. And so I went out there and painted the sign one day, snuck back to my room. Anyway, I got in big trouble for it. The counselor confronted me, nose on nose. Well, first time that had happened. And I don't do good with that. And I said, screw you, I'm leaving. And so I pick up the phone. This is a 40-year-old man picking the phone up, by the way, calling Dad, right? 40-year-old, Dad, 40 years old, come on. And it just, just to hear that come out of my mouth, you know. And Dad says, well, son, I don't think we're ready for you to be moving anywhere. And I said, you too. And I called my boys, boom, come pick me up. Well, that was July of 2002. I got down to Mar, July of 2004, 2 years to the month. I had that good 3.5 weeks of solid, good rehab. I went 2 AA meetings during that 3.5 weeks. I told them, I said, I got this thing. Got it. And it wasn't long. I was back on that front doorstep. You know where I was. I'm back. Well, good. We're glad to have you back. How much you want? So during that 2 years, by the time I got back down here, I was doing 7 grams of cocaine a day. And as I say that, y'all, you know what? I say 7 grams, you know, in AA, they don't know that. Y'all know what 7 grams is, right?
Quarter.
Thank you. It was AA guys, they just say, oh, wow, that's a lot. It's 2 8 balls, man. And so I'm on the couch. I'm not getting out. I've stitched my curtains. I took a hook, a fishing hook with line, and I stitched my curtains. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That little hole right there? To take care of that. Paranoia. The chemical eventually just takes over your body. I don't care who you are, how strong you are. The chemical just, the chains were so loose for so long that before the chains got so tight it was too late. I couldn't get out of them. I was locked up. And they would, so I made my way down here, and that's where the real stuff started to happen. That's where I started to come alive. I started to experience what a man really means. For the first time, I was 42 years old. It was a month before my 43rd birthday. Come down here and, man, I was going, man, 90 days, okay, I'll do 90 days, you know. They locked me up at Peachford for 3 days. Peachford Hospital, I mean, it's the greatest place in the world. They did a good job on me, you know, but I wouldn't go. They put me, I wouldn't leave the office, the administrative office. I would not go to the back room. Who did I call? Dad. I said, man, I'm checking in. Just let me get a hotel room. These people just want our money. How many times do we use that? They're just after our money. It's $500 a day. I said, put me up over here at the hotel, and I'll check in tomorrow Monday, no problem. And he says, no. So they locked me up. They locked me in there. And that's where the journey started for me. You know, I tell the story about when I woke up. That's where my recovery started, right there. I had never been locked up like that. Been locked. It's one thing being locked up with my fellow thug criminals. It's another thing being in there. Woo. Woo. Scary. Slip, hip, and cool. going to be rich and famous. And what? I'm where? And I'm how old? This thing's getting messed up bad quick. And that's usually what it takes for all of us before you, your ears go boom. The antenna goes up. The eyes stay open. I was aware of my surroundings. I knew those people were in bad shape. And I'm in there with them, so I must be in bad shape. That's a real, you guys are in here for a reason. We're all the same. Left our own demise, where we go with this thing, is just, it's not even human. So they let us out 3 times a day to eat, right? Y'all been to Peachford, right? They let you eat, don't they? Got that beautiful cafeteria, best 5-star food. Jeez. Tastes great for about a day. That second, third day, it's just, ugh. They let you out of it. They unlock the door and they let you out. And they kind of, it's to kind of manhandle you a little bit. You know, they kind of get up, you want you up against the wall. And they'll tell you 3 times, get up against the wall. And I'm looking, everybody's against the wall. What they're doing is they're prepping us to walk in the cafeteria. What they're doing is we're over here to get out of the way of the normal people walking by. That's where I was. Normal people were over here walking by. I picked up on that. I wanted to get out of this line right then. Right then, so I started paying attention, and I was lucky enough to get in a program. You know, I think if you want to get sober, you get sober anywhere. Doesn't matter about your sponsor. If you want this thing, by God, you'll get it. And if you don't, it doesn't matter who your sponsor is or what rehab you go to. You've got to come to the table and be served. Something about us, we like to be, come on, come on, beg me, beg me, beg me. You know, I'm a gamecock, but I'll talk about a bulldog. You take a bulldog, you put a half-inflated football in his mouth and try to get it out. He can't get it out. That's how I treat my recovery today, just like that. I will not. I have a zone that I know what to enters in here and what doesn't. I have that choice today to make that decision. Early rehab, these guys were going to the strip clubs and getting my, you know, okay, I'm thinking, man, damn, are they doing that scene fun? I said, maybe I'm being a little too, maybe I'm a little too conservative with this thing. Because I was with some real thumpers, man. They were thumping it hard. Maybe I'm going to loosen up a little bit. You know, they're not drinking. Go to a strip bar and look to your left, look to your right. I have a choice today of who I, this program is about some type of spiritual change. I'm not saying you can't go to strip joints, you can go anywhere you want. For me, I can't. And you've got to know those things where you can go and you can't go. What triggers you? Concerts. I went to concerts for one reason, just to get pounded. Now, there's the guy that loves the music, the aesthetic stuff. I understand that. That just wasn't me. And you got to know these things because I am responsible for my recovery, nobody else. I got to quit blaming. 99% of the stuff that happens to me today is because of me. And see, in retrospect, that's good. That's a great thing. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Doesn't have anything to do with you. Doesn't have anything to do with my dad or my sponsor or what you know. It's I'm responsible. 99% of stuff. Something bad happens to me. I have to sit with that and say, what's going on with me? Why is this bothering me so bad? Why am I getting ready to cut his tires? You know, I'd follow you. I'll follow you to the mall. Wait till you go in and cut your tires. That's who I am. I mean, really, at the core, that's who I am. And you've all got that in you. You know, we're different. But something hard driving us. So I got to get out of that somehow. So anyway, I get the Sprite sponsor. me, my journey's been, my journey. My first sponsor, I heard, just heard he got arrested this past week for my first sponsor. He's in jail right now. I've had 6 sponsors in 8 years. I'm sorry, I've had 5, one twice. I'm back, had one guy, I'm back with a second time. And I just, you know, it doesn't, sponsorship is the most important thing. I'm just, you gotta be, I gotta be careful with the guru. This thing is about how do you get me back out there where I can be a success and I can deal with the stuff that goes on in life, man. I come to these and I pay attention and I listen for 1 hour. Then I got to go back out here and I got to get up and go to work in the morning. And I can't, you know, I have a lawn maintenance business now. I cut grass for a living. It's glamorous. It's hot as you know what in Georgia, you know? But that's okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I do an honest day's work now, you know, and I'm not overpaid. I try to do, if I do $100, if a lady pays me $100, my goal is to do $120 worth of work. And I find if I keep that, it used to be what? It used to be you pay me $100, I did $80. And I thought I won at the end of the day. If I could screw you out of 20% every day, I was a winner. And where did it get me? Got me at Peachford Hospital. You know, winners. Touchdown. Touchdown. Jeez. This is a beginning, and this is why I'm so impressed to see you guys in here. At your age, it's just unbelievable. Whew. It is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I got it at 43. I want 25 back. I want 20 back. So bad sometimes it makes me just, and I got to move on. Can't stay there. I don't think I'm getting them back. God, it could have been just, you know, but it's not. It's my story. It's my life. I had a great life. It's just, you know, I think I'm encouraged to see you guys in here doing this. Work the 12 steps slowly, one at a time. By the time you get to step 9 and you're doing amends, you have done a tremendous amount of work, and it will have changed, will have begun. To take a person, a human being, and change his personality and attitude is like bending steel. Do you know what bending steel sounds like? That irky kind of, it's not normal. What? The bar stools I sat on for all those years, 35 years, I partied out there, and I come in here, and all you're going to do is tell me to stop drinking, go to a few meetings. Man, I'm hard, my hard drive, I'm wired, man. I'm doing what I do real good. It's going to take a while to change me, but it is a proven that it works. I don't know why it works. I don't care. I stopped asking why. When I stopped asking why, faith moved in. I just have faith today that it works. Why? Because I see it in other people. And I ask them how they do it. It's a dark cave, man, and it's pitch dark. I need you to come in with a flashlight and say, hey, man, come on. I know the way. To experience that, I've sponsored many, many people. And to be involved in another human being's life, just to be around it. I had nothing to do with it. They were ready and they heard it. To be involved in that is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. To be involved in that makes me feel close to God. I'm thinking, maybe is this really for the first time what God put me here to do? You take two steps forward and you stop and you take a step back and extend your hand. You cannot run away with this thing. I see that so many times. We're competitive individuals. I want my sobriety's better. Stop. After this meeting or later, find the person in this room, and you know who they are, that you freaking can't stand. See all of you looking left, looking around. Find that person and go sit down beside them and connect with that. Whew, that's godlike, man, to me. Because that's I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired that way. You're in a rehab. You're in a recovery residence. You got that guy. You got that girl that's acting out, that can't do anything right. Maybe they're just the sickest. And maybe you're more healthier. Maybe you're just healthier than them. The biggest reward you can do for yourself is to help them. See, I this thing makes full circle. It comes back around to me, which is where I love. I'm selfish through the core. So really, let's see now. If I help you, I'm helping me. I get that. Bam. I can do that. I get that. It's all coming back to me. And we've all got it. We've got attitude problems. They suck. Our attitudes suck. We can't keep a job. We can't keep in relationships. And that's where this program, that's where this AA, NA, whatever you take, whatever program you are. Take your time. Take your time. Ask questions. Ask questions. Be accountable. Be accountable. Everything in you wants to not be accountable. We're criminals, basically. A criminal can't be running around telling people all the stuff I'm doing. I'd be arrested. So I learned this chameleon thing. I learned it when I had a young age. I learned it when my daddy come in and took a swap at my mother while he'd been drinking. I learned to watch that door and to make a quick read on him when he hit the door. Okay. Okay. So good. Hey, Dad. You know? Right? I take that. I take it to middle school. Then I take it to high school, and I'm wearing these little kids out that got these nice little families everywhere. I'm out maneuvering them 10 ways to Sunday. That's who we are, man. We're chameleons. You know, and at the core, at the very core, I'm mean. At the very core, I'm mean. That's my story. Probably a lot of yours. And I'll smile at you and tell you, well, can't stand you. How do you change that guy? It's slow and it's methodical, and you got to work at it. You go to discussion meetings, you discuss, you raise your hand, you be accountable, talk. If you're an introvert, that's okay, but figure that out. Talk to your sponsor. What do you think I need to do about this? Talk it out. You can't just sit there. If you sit there, the dope will win. It will catch up with you. It's the greatest thing in the world to see all these young faces. I can't believe it. What are y'all doing in here? This is great, man. I don't know where. And to be in a speaker meeting. I hated speaker meetings when I first got started. I like to share. I like to talk. Let's hear. Blah, 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 blah. You know, for you guys to sit in here and listen to this is great. Help somebody. And the coolest thing about this thing is, man, it's like prison. It's like prison. The cool thing is...
Don't drop the soap.
Stop using soap right now. What soap?
This is a disease, man.
This is the only disease I've ever heard of that you would get this disease and you could come out on the other side stronger. This is the only place. They take the key and they throw it into the cell to you. You want to get out? Here, get out. But you got to bend over. That's what catches us. Damn, could you come in the jail and pick the key up for me and give it to me? I swear to God, it's the most frustrating. It's God, you know. What do you? It's, you sponsor these guys. It's like, what do you want? You gotta pick the key up and come over here and unlock the door and get out. Why it's so hard about that, Theron? Y'all know Theron. I saw Theron when he came in.
I'm a late bloomer too.
I saw Theron when he came in. I knew there was hope when I saw him come in. I knew I had a chance. Anyway, I'm going to end with this. I don't like to hold y'all what I call hold hostage. There's two things I don't do when I tell my story. I don't go too long, and I never say, oh, hold on, let me back up. You know, don't you hate that with the guys? 4 to 5 minutes, he's at 4K, I'm at 5K. And anyway, I hope to meet y'all. My home group's done with his solution, 6:30 men's meeting. We have a speaker meeting once a month. And, man, I just love you guys. It's an inspiration to see y'all in here, okay? And I'm going to tell you, the most important thing I've ever done for my family is to get sober. When I walk into a room now, there's respect there. Nobody cares about what your problem is. People care about what you're doing about your problem. That's all. They don't care what you've done in the past. They got their own stuff to take care of. But we are concerned with what you're doing about it. Society is so concerned about it, they have built jails and institutions to put your ass in there. They will take you off the street and protect themselves from us. That's proven. We've all had a taste of that. I love you, and thank y'all for letting me share tonight.